the Popcorn Man. The J. Rouse Show starts now.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network. Network.
The serious side of the J. Rouse Show is coming up next right here on the TJRS Radio Network online radio at its best.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
WWE Superstar Big Show here to tell you, if you've been drinking, get a ride. Take a cab. Find another safe way to get home. Cops all across the country are cracking down on drunk driving. They will see you before you see them. Drive sober or get pulled over.
Online radio at its best. Online radio at its best.
If you're resident, map of the South.
Let's do this.
I'm telling you, I am first very honored that you would join me tonight.
He has a very limited time spot, so we want to bring in Mr. Alan Sarrow right away.
Hey, how are you, Kathleen?
You know what? I'm going to make you do what I do,
baby. Man, what's crack-a-lackin', baby? What's crack-a-lackin'?
It's time for the serious side of the J. Rouse Show.
Don't try to call me out, princess. You can take your love and true purpose and stick it. She's a bitch.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
This week on the serious side.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise to urge my colleagues to become co-sponsors of my bill, the Pregnant Workers Fairness Act. While current law prohibits discrimination based on pregnancy, childbirth, or related medical conditions, and directs employers to treat pregnancies the same as any other condition that might temporarily limit an employee's ability to perform some job functions, these protections have proven inadequate.
Don't worry, because he was just sitting here. I just came here.
It's none of my business. The fight break, I stopped. Don't say you can put it up on me.
That's all right.
The people that fight you can walk away? Are you serious? I didn't do nothing. What did I do? I didn't sell anything. I did nothing. We sitting here the whole time. None of my business. What are you talking about? Who about to do what? Who about to sell cigarettes to? To whom?
Not that rich.
This
guy right here is forcibly
trying
to lock somebody up for breaking up a fight.
Everybody standing here, they told you I didn't do nothing. I did not sell nothing. Because every time you see me, you want to harass me, you want to stop me, so I sell cigarettes. I'm minding my business, officer. I'm minding my business. Please just leave me alone. I told you the last time, please leave me alone.
But what I've tried to employ the female members of my family, some of who you all met and talked to and what have you, is that, again, and this is what I've done this all my life, let's make sure we don't do anything to provoke wrong actions.
Good morning and welcome to the serious side of the TJRS, broadcasting live from the Smooth Jams Jazz Cafe, right here on the TJRS Radio Network. Good Sunday morning to you, folks. Today is July 27, 2014, and you're listening to the serious side of the J. Rouse Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. I'm J. Rouse. Of course, I never chair the stage by myself. Let's say good morning to the man. He's back. My right-hand man, Mr. L.E.S. Good morning, sir, and welcome back to the serious side, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, sir. How are you doing this morning?
Doing outstanding, Mr. L.E.S. We have a great, have some great topics this morning, some very controversial topics, and I just can't wait to get into them.
Sounds like it to me, man. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, let's not waste any time. The Pregnant Workers Fairness Act is a bill that will require employees to make the same kind of work accommodations for pregnant women that current law requires them to make for people with disabilities. Here's the question. Why are Republicans against this bill? Mr. Elias, you know, the Republicans, they acknowledge that they have an issue with African-Americans and with women, but yet and still they continue to not support the very bills that could possibly sway some of these voters to think Republican in upcoming elections. So why do they continue to do this?
That's a great question. You know, and I consider it arrogance. You know, the bottom line, these people think people are going to vote for them, are going to do whatever they want to do behind closed doors. They're not looking at the bigger picture. And you know something? They just don't get it. Some of these guys just don't get it. It's ridiculous to me that you would fight this kind of bill, and time and time again, you've seen that women voters are some of the strongest voters out there, so why wouldn't you back these voters? Why wouldn't you back stuff to help those type of people? It's arrogancy. These people don't think that they can be touched. And then you got to look at the district that they're in, too. You know, I bet Eric Cantor, I bet he wish he could go back and really, really go out there and campaign now like he should have. So if you look at their districts, man, they're arrogant. They say, I can't be pushed down no matter what. So I believe that's a large part of doing it.
Yeah, but when you think about that, though, yeah, they do have that. But their polling is telling the LES that they need to go after females. And so, you know, I don't know if it's arrogance. I just don't. To me, this doesn't pass the common sense test when you know that you have a problem with those types of demographics, with those two demographic groups, and yet still you continue to not support this type of legislation. You go back and look at, you know, some of the comments they made about, you know, women having the right to choose. You know, we want to think that these people are smarter people than that in office, but yet still they continue to go down these avenues. I don't know if Americans is the proper explanation for it, man.
Well, you know, some if they had their districts where they were not going to be like Eric Cantor, where they were going to lose their seats, I guarantee you they would listen.
Cantor,
don't feel like they're going to lose.
But Mr. Elias, Cantor lost his seat because the Tea Party went after him. It didn't have anything to do with what he believed in. The Tea Partiers felt that Cantor was not conservative enough, and they went after him. I mean, they ran a candidate, and that. Yeah, so I don't know if I'm not sure if that qualifies the same, right? I mean, you know, the bottom line is it's not because of the fact that because of his stance against women or his stance against the president. It was just a situation where the Tea Partiers felt that he wasn't conservative enough, and they went after him.
Well, my thought process is this, man. If he was in a district where it was heavily, well, these people are heavily populated with women, they would change their minds. They would definitely change their minds. A lot of these districts, they're not heavily populated with women. And they're like, I'm going to give my seat anyway, so it doesn't matter what I do. And that's arrogance to me. That's the way it is. These people don't feel like they're going to lose their seats. They don't feel like they have to cater to anybody. And, you know, they'll lose the national election with the presidency and all that other stuff, but the rest of these things, they don't care about it. They're going to keep their seats no matter what because they gerrymandered their districts.
So you feel that that's the case, the reason why the Republicans don't really care, and that's the reason why they're going about their business of trying to realign districts, because they feel that if they can realign districts, then and they can really control at least the House, and they're trying to get the Senate. I mean, Democrats are concerned about that in the upcoming election, whether or not the Republicans will be able to take hold of the Senate, and then you're talking about obstruction at the highest level. If they control both branches of government, my God, we won't get anything done in the last 2 years of the president's term.
Exactly, man. And I believe that's just it, man. They don't care. They just don't care. And they'll tell you basically they don't give a damn by the way they vote or when they put things out there. How do these people keep getting back in office? Because they gerrymandered the districts. They put stuff out there where they can just keep their seats. If they weren't able to keep their seats and they were scared of losing their seats, it would be a much different type of House or Senate that you look at. That's just the way it works, man.
Well, I want to go back and focus. Okay, but I want to go back and focus on the actual law itself and the reason why some feel that the law needs to be put into, that this bill needs to be put into law. I mean, employers, if you are an employer and you have a pregnant female and you know she's going to be gone for a certain period of time because once she gives birth, you know, she's authorized to have X amount of days off. I mean, think about this for a second. Your job is you're running a business. I mean, what do you think about the law in general? Do you think it needs to be in place? Or should employers have the right to say, look, bottom line is I have to make accommodations for a person that this is a temporary disability. This is not, you know, this is not something that's going to be permanent. I have to sit here and make accommodations for this individual so this person can, you know, have the ability to work comfortably. I mean, think about, what do you think about the law itself or the proposal that they have out there on the table?
Well, you know what, Jay, you know, it depends on the business, I would say. But a lot of these companies, they can afford it. They can afford to let I can see if it's a very small business and they couldn't afford that, well, then they could get temporary help. Then there should be some type of, tax preparation in place for these people or some type of fund set up. But the bottom line is this, man. If you can, you know, why wouldn't you let somebody, you know, off if they're pregnant? Because a lot of women have difficult pregnancies, man. Matter of fact, where I work at, we had a young lady, she got pregnant, and every morning she was, you know, you could look at her and see she was sick. So she had to actually end up quitting her job because she was actually very sick. So, I mean, the bottom line is that, you know, some women have difficult pregnancies, some don't. So why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you help somebody out there? That's God's first commandment, be fruitful and multiply. So why wouldn't you help these people out? Why wouldn't you help the pregnant woman out?
Well, okay, well, let's go back then. Let's make the comparison here. Now, let's say that you have a person that is always taking off sick. They can never stay healthy. The bottom line is every time you turn around, they're taking time off because they're sick. I mean, at what point do you say, okay, look, this is not working. Hey, I understand that you're sick. I know it's no fault of yours, but we have a business to run. We have a department to run. We have to make money because if I can't keep this business afloat or if I can't have what you do done because your job is a critical job, we may not have jobs to return to. So, I mean, is there, when you look at this, I mean, what makes this any different than a person being sick all the time?
What would you, okay, say you had a person with cancer. Would you fire that person right away because they had cancer?
That's a good point.
Because they couldn't do their job, would you let that person go? You know, sometimes you gotta bite out and bite the bullet if you're a businessman. And as a business owner, we have people that were out sick constantly, and just had to bite out and bite the bullet. And I wasn't a big business, but hey, look, I still help these people out. That's what you got insurance for. That's what you got things like Aflac for. That's why you encourage people to get Aflac supplemental insurance. Things like that, of that nature, man. You as a business, you got things you can do. So, how would you look out there to a person or to the public if one of your employees got sick and had cancer? How would that work out for you?
Well, but Aflac is really to protect the workers themselves. It's not really to protect the business per se.
Right, it's not. But how would you look to that person if you, if that person had cancer, and that person was suffering from cancer, and all of a sudden they're out, they're done. You know, I can't have you anymore. You got cancer, so you can't deal with it.
Yeah, I understand. I'm not going to say we're mixing apples and oranges here. It just seems to me that employers should have the ability to, if it's a situation, to say, okay, look, bottom line is that I have to run a business. And trust me, I'm playing devil's advocate here. I don't want anybody to walk away from the show thinking that Jay said that, you know, employers should have the right to fire pregnant women. The reason why this law, the reason why they're trying to make this law is to protect the pregnant worker, because you do have employers who are firing pregnant females, saying that, hey, you no longer have a job, or, You know, there's so many different different aspects of this that you can look at. We have a phone call. I don't know who this is. Let's check him in. Good morning. Welcome into the Serious Side. Who are we speaking with and where are you calling from? Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
415-728.
I mean, they don't have their mic on. You can check your mute button. Just go ahead if you want to get in, press 1, and then press 1 again, and we'll let you back in. We'll get you on the air. 347-850-1272. You can participate in the conversation. We're talking about the pregnant female, the Pregnant Workers Fair Act, Fairness Act, which is on the table, on the books. Republicans keep saying no to this particular legislation, and we're wondering out loud, why do they continue to do these things that hurt their party? But we're kind of focusing on, we're turning our attention to the employers themselves. You know, the ability, the reason why this came up is because a lot of employers are taking, you know, unprecedented moves in firing pregnant females, you know, and if you look at pregnant females, you think about, you know, you talk about protected groups. You know, we have women over 40, that's a protected group. Obviously, minorities is a protected group as well. You know, so when you sit back and kind of look at these things, Ms. Elias, you know, you wonder why employees would take that risk because, you know, I've always said when you go to court, okay, if you get sued, 9 times out of 10, the people who are in the jury box are not employers, but they are employees. And so they will have more empathy for a person who says, look, I was fired because I was pregnant, or I was fired because of this, that, and the other. So now it looks like, do we have our phone caller in? Is she in?
The, yes.
Did we get the, who is it? Good morning.
Yes,
welcome
to
the, hey, Delia, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Scott. I'm so sorry about that. I'm at the same time that I'm listening. You guys have a great subject. And I wanted to say, you know, as somebody who has had the diminished ability, because being pregnant is not a disability, but has had the diminished ability of being pregnant 2 times, it's like I had what we call high-risk pregnancy, but mine wasn't as bad as some that other people have. You know, some women get gestational diabetes, their feet swell all up, they can't hardly walk. And, of course, you know, the main thing is like, you know, what kind of job you have, you're going to the bathroom like every, you know, 40 minutes or so. And so I actually had a boss that used to time my, you know, she used to keep track of every time I went to the bathroom, which I couldn't understand because she was a mother too. But definitely there needs to be plenty of accommodations for when women are pregnant. You know, just like there's accommodations for workers' comp. If I was to hurt myself on my job, they'd have to either, you know, find another type of job that I could do or help me get retrained or, you know, make some sort of accommodations whereby I could continue to do my job. So it's really not any different. It's the cost of doing this. And so, you know,
well,
I'm glad
you.
That... Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you, so let's. I want to focus on what you just said as far as someone using the bathroom a lot. So I guess a reasonable accommodation would be, what, to move this person closer to the restroom? I mean. So I guess I'm trying to figure out what are reasonable accommodations. When you hear someone say that, real deal, I mean, what do you think that is? I mean, what would be a reasonable accommodation for a person in that situation?
Well, you know, depending on what the job is, if a person has to use the bathroom frequently, if they're in a job where they have to be, you know, on their feet and always at the ready, like say if you're doing customer service in a store, then all there really needs to be is just another person available so that when they go to the, when that person has to make the more frequent bathroom trips, that the job is just covered. It's, you know, it's not really a big thing. And a lot of the things that most pregnancies entail are not really big things, but they're just, you know, differences that a person has to deal with while they're pregnant. So, you know.
Well, let's say that person is actually, let's say that this person is an executive. Let's say that this person is in a situation where they can't be moved or relocated closer to a restroom. I mean, I guess my thing is that when we talk about putting these types of things in place, do we really and fully think it through? Mm-hmm. And I guess, you know, the law, when you talk about the law, I think the law is set up to try to protect pregnant females, obviously. But when you go back and look at the fact that there are employers out there who are firing pregnant females because they're saying, look, we have a job to do. We have a business to run. And if you can't do your job, regardless of the issue, then we have to make a decision, right? I mean, are they wrong for saying that? Are we saying because this person is pregnant, or in the case that Mr. Elias brought up earlier, person has cancer, at the end of the day, if a person's out, does it really make a difference why they're out? If they can't get their job done, shouldn't an employer have the ability to make that decision to make their business to continue to have success or to run a successful business?
Well, what I would say to that is, and I'm real sensitive to it because I live in California, which is an at-will state. So, you know, people lose jobs without even being told why they lost their job, you know, because they don't have to have them anymore. And so with that in mind, though, if it's something that's related to a difference in your ability to do something, if it's temporary or if it's something that might be longer lasting because you're dealing with something like cancer or HIV or fibromyalgia, some of those other, you know, conditions that really attack the whole body, then what the employer normally has to do, if it's a workers' comp situation, what the employer has to do is they have to either, number one, compensate, the insurance compensate you, and if it's something that's going to make it where you really can't do your job for a long time, they have to give you modified duty. They have to give you something that you can do so you can earn a living, support yourself and your family. They have to either get you modified duty or they have to help you get trained so that you can still be a working person. And so I think that the same model that they have for the workers' compensation should go into play on any type of disability, whether it's pregnancy or whether it's something else. I was working as a driver at an Air Force shuttle company, and I sprained my ankle, my right ankle. Plus, you know, with people with my ankle sprained, I couldn't have a band and be jumping in a band. So my boss, because he really liked me, during the time that I couldn't drive, he gave me data entry work to do. And I was still working for the company. I was still helping the company. And I was still earning some income to help me take care of my family. That's what a good employer would do.
You know, all right. Well, I appreciate it. Well, great comments, Radia, you know.
Their job is probably have other abilities, you know. So they should just tap into that and see what else you can do to contribute to the company if you're not able to do your traditional job.
Interesting. Great comments, Radia. Definitely appreciate you hanging in and calling in, and definitely if you want to get back in on the other topics, which you may, go ahead and press 1 and get it again. We'll get you in the queue. Let's say good morning to our political strategist, Jerome Esprit from EspritRadio.net. Good morning, Jerome. How are you?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Doing all right, man. We're talking about the Pregnancy Workers Fairness Act. The fact that Republicans continue to not support this legislation, even though their polling numbers are telling them that, you know, women are not in their corner. Their numbers are telling them that African-Americans are not in their corner. Our question this morning, and you're the best person to ask for this, is why do they continue to do this when they know that they have a problem with these particular demographic groups?
Yeah. I don't know if I'm a good person to ask this, but I think that what happens with people who are, we've all seen situations where you say, why would you do that? And sometimes, you know, most of the time people say, I don't know, or whatever. That hate will drive you, and they just don't want to pass anything. And so once you become the lowest productive in the history of the country, then it's like you have nothing else to lose. I mean, this has been a strategy for the Republican Party for guys probably for the last 100 years, is that what they do generally is they think that everybody has short-term memory, and they don't realize that the majority of people 55 and under are not like the people who are 65 and over. They don't think the same. So people aren't that forgiving, and they think that no matter how they obstruct, no matter what they do to women, no matter what they do to minorities, they think that people are going to reward them later. Like, you're going to forget. Right, we forget what Reagan did, and they named the airport after him because they had enough money to lobby to have Dulles named after Oh, I'm sorry. They have National Airport named after Reagan. So that has always been a strategy of theirs, is that they can obstruct all they want to, and you won't punish them later.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, when you sit back and look at it, I mean, it's amazing that they have amnesia. And, look, I just think they're bold for them to continue to do this, for them to continue to have the gall to say, listen, we don't care. We know that we're not doing well with these groups. We know this, but we're going to still support legislation that's not going to be beneficial to them. And, hey, you know what? Whatever, because we feel that if we continue to do some of the things, and Mr. Elias mentioned it earlier in the set, if we continue to try to redirect our Jimmy Rig, our rearrange districts where we can have more Republican people so they can take more control of, especially state Senate houses and things of that nature, we don't care about that stuff. You know, it is what it is. It's interesting, though. And we were talking about the employee. I want to go back here real quick before we close this out because, Real Deal, you said something that I thought was very interesting. You talked about her being a driver. And here's the scenario, Mr. Elias. You run a truck driving company. You're trying to do the right thing. 80% of your workers are females. Out of that 80%, my goodness, 50% of them, are pregnant, right? So, how do you – now, your business is pretty much at a standstill, right? I mean, you're losing money because we all know how the trucking industry works. So if you can't – I mean, what do you say? Are you – What would be an employer's solution to that situation?
Well, you can always hire temporary help, Jay. And you can hire temporary help. And it's very funny you should say this because my business was driving, and the one I did own, and we had females there, and we had temporary help we could call. It was called First Gary, and we could always call these people in, and we had temporary drivers do their job when that person was out. So, you can always get around things, man. There's always a way to get around things. So for these billionaire companies that say it's gonna hurt their pockets, okay. So you didn't make $8 billion, you only made $7 billion this year. Deal with it.
Jerome, let me give you the final word on this set.
Well. It's I don't know. Like I said, I think more times than not, people just kind of listen to their own inner circle about what the repercussions of their actions are going to be, and these guys don't think that it's going to have any long-term lasting repercussions, and everybody has short-term memory. But you really have to know that the world has changed and that people need to kind of step up and stop forgiving folks for those type of policies and those things that are harming them. No matter what, the only way that people will stop doing that is to have some repercussions at the end.
Very well said. All right, folks, coming up next, we're just getting started. We have a great show, a very controversial show going on this morning. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the New York City man who died while in police custody for allegedly breaking up a fight. It's the Serious Side. It's a beautiful Sunday morning. Hope it's the same where you are. We'll be right back after this smooth jazz break, and we'll see you on the other side.
Hi, this is your resident Map of the South, Moms and Little Donnas, kickstarting your weekend every Friday with Ladies First Radio of the Gay Rouse Show, a show for women, by women. Tune in every Friday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as my co-host Princess Odelia and I discuss everyday issues and offer inspirational solutions. From the East Coast to the West Coast to all over the world, Ladies First Radio keeps it real, spreading positivity one show at a time. So come be uplifted with Ladies First Radio, the J-Rouse Show, every Friday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's Ladies First Radio, the J-Rouse Show, a show for women by women.
other dreams, you can't compare. It's the things you do and the things you say that let me know that you feel the same way. Feel so good, so good, so good. A love so true, me and you. I could conceive. It's good to know that I have your love. It's good to know that you are the one. It's the things you do and the things you say that let me know you feel the same way. So good, so good. Oh, I love you.
Don't worry, because he was just sitting here. I just came here.
None of my business. The play break got stopped. Don't say you can put it up on me.
That's all right.
The people that fight you just walk away? Are you serious? I didn't do nothing. Let go. I didn't sell anything. I did nothing. We sit here the whole time. None of our business. Who told you? Who got to do what? Who got to sell a cigarette to? To whom?
You got right here, it's forcibly trying to lock somebody up for breaking up a fight.
Welcome back in. It is the bottom of the hour. You're listening to the Serious Side of the Jay Rouse Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. The number is 347-850-1272, 347-850-1272. Let's say good morning to a few people. I want to say good morning to Carrie, who's listening in Davenport, Iowa. How are you? Jerry G. from Dallas, Texas. And Richard from Boston, Massachusetts. Good morning to you all. I want to say what's up to people in the chat room as well. Good morning to all the guests. And we're going to start calling these guys our Sunday morning three, the big three, the Sunday morning three. St. Clinton, Kavina Man, and Easy Rider. They're here every Sunday morning. So we're going to call them the big three, Mr. Elias. Miami used to have the big three. Now we have our big three. Sunday morning's best, our big three. What's going on, guys? Good morning to you all. And good morning to you too, Mr. Elias. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, sir?
Yeah, I'm doing great, sir. And, of course, the smartest man in the world, Jerome Esprit, he's in the house. Good morning, Jerome. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm good. How are you?
Doing all right. Once again, a great show on tap for you. Glad you guys are here. Once again, I call the number 347-850-1272. Well, you heard the post, and the post was an exchange between Eric Garner and New York police. If you don't know the story, Here's ABC's. I'm sorry, I wrote his name down. I don't have it. Here's a report from ABC and what's happening on the other side.
America's largest police force is facing a serious controversy over a video that's gone viral showing officers arresting a suspect who later died. The video is wrenching, and here's ABC's Ron Claiborne.
In the video, you can see 43-year-old Eric Garner confronted by two plainclothes officers for allegedly peddling illegal cigarettes. The officers move in to arrest him. One of them puts his forearm around Garner's neck. More police join in, pinning him to the ground as he cries out. The father of six was rushed to a local hospital where he died.
Just snatched my heart right out my chest. Like I'm not, I'm an empty shell right now.
No justice, no peace.
The incident has stirred racial tensions in this city.
An unarmed man was subjected to a chokehold, and the result is he is no longer with us.
As he spoke, Garner's wife collapsing by his side. At issue is whether Garner was placed in a chokehold, a tactic banned by New York City police.
It's defined in the department's patrol guide that this would appear to have been a chokehold.
Police officers also appear to sit on Garner once he was on the ground, which could violate another NYPD policy.
And two of the arresting officers have been placed on death duty while the incident is investigated by both police and prosecutors. This pending autopsy results to determine the cause of Garner's death. And tonight, the Patrolman Officers Union tells ABC News that at the time that police have, sometimes police have to employ the use of force in order to get compliance from an individual. The union went on to say that when taken out of context, necessary force can be misinterpreted, Dan, as excessive.
A lot more to come on this story.
A lot more.
Ron, thank you.
Well, now, okay. I don't know where to go from here. When you listen to this nonsense and you listen to this report, I'm not sure, Mr. Elias, if you have the mics. I'm not sure if everyone's mics are on. But let me just, first of all, just get comments from you in regards to this whole story. What are your comments before we get into the Q&A session of this particular set?
That these cops should be put in jail for murder, man. That's what they murdered this guy, man. There's nothing planned. There's no more anything to say but that. They murdered this guy. Bottom line, you know, they had to do their job, but to do an illegal chokehold, then you sit on this guy afterwards. Really? And don't just say that it appears. You can look at the video and see. That's one thing about video. You can't lie. You can't say this didn't happen. They put an illegal chokehold on this guy. It's been outlawed, and God knows how long. And then you kill this guy. Really? These guys should be put in jail for murder, and it gets no more simpler than that. But they'll end up getting off because they're police officers. That's why I say I just don't trust the police. I just don't.
Jerome, what are your initial thoughts on this, sir?
Well, I mean, of course, this is always hard for me because I know that we seem to, in this country, take this stuff with a grain of salt. So when we talk about Amadou Diallo or Sean Bale case in New York, police clearly killed them. And in this case, they clearly killed them. So I hate listening to especially major media's report when they say alleged something. Alleged is used so that you don't have the facts, you won't get sued. But you don't have to allege anything in this one. They have it on videotape. I saw them choke him out. There was no alleged illegal choco. They choked though, you know, they choked him to death. And then they watched him die when you have the EMTs come and they sit there and looking and they see that he's not breathing and they do nothing. All of them should be held accountable. You should be able to sue the ambulance company, to be able to sue the police department. Somebody needs to go to jail because somebody died. And one thing I would advocate for is the laws that are on the books that says that you can't record police officers. Because there are a lot of cases of people getting beat and taken to jail for recording police officers, but the police officers can wear cameras, right? It only shows their perspective. We need to make sure that they are citizens just like us, and we need to be able to have more surveillance on this, because when we're wrong, everybody blasts it out there, and then when they're wrong, they say, let's debate if that chokehold was legal or not. I mean, I remember the Rodney King. Oh, we were trying to hit him in the legs. They weren't strategically hitting him either. So we need to get, we need to be forceful on this. And I hate saying this because we say this every time somebody dies, but we are the minorities in this country, black people in particular, get killed by the police somewhere like 85% of the time compared to anybody else. And at 13% of the population, that's crazy. So they get a pass for killing black people still.
I got to agree when you're right on that one, Jerome. I mean, it seems like it's a mandate out to just kill black men. It's just, it's unbelievable. It's just it's unbelievable. I can't believe that these people aren't going to jail. Why are we going to do an investigation? Hell, if it was a drug dealer and you had videotape of him doing something, it would be an investigation. It'd be like, hey, this is what we got on tape.
Right.
He's going down.
Well, it wouldn't be an investigation, Mr. Elliott. They would do an investigation. It was just the justice would be quick. I mean, it would be, you know, I mean, we all know that. Look, there are legal reasons why they have to say that. I mean, you can see someone shoot someone at point-blank range, and you still have to say that person was allegedly whatever because of the legal terminology revolving around that. So,
no, not necessarily. You have to say they allegedly if you're reporting, like, second and third party. So that's a media issue of allegedly,
okay.
Right? But when you see something, that's a little bit different. Because you can say that they did it, because I saw them do it, and you can take a lie detector and say you saw them do it, right? Allegedly, it's used for hearsay information. So usually the media...
Well, okay, but the media, I thought the media, Jerome, I mean, because you see this all the time with with news outlets, you say, hey, this person was allegedly this, even though it clearly shows that this person did whatever. I mean, for legal reasons, don't they have to say that? I mean, if you're a witness, that's a different ballgame.
Well, no, but they say that just as a policy. That's a policy issue more than it is a legal issue. So they adhere to it. You know, mind you, when I'm doing Clear Channels, I remember I was something happened, and someone corrected me and said allegedly, and I said bite me. I was there. So if you want to subpoena me, put me on the stand, fine. I'll tell you that fool did it. I was there. Right, I don't have to say allegedly if it's first person. You have to say allegedly if it comes through a third party, so you can or another party,
okay.
So you can say someone doctored the tape, so it was allegedly. We don't know that what we saw was true. They're selling that to you, right? And so it is why our democracy sucks, because we put all of these slick words in just to let people off the hook. And I don't know if you saw last week. The white guy who was shooting at the police officers, I forgot what a car chase was, and he had a full, like, he and his girlfriend carjacked somebody, stole it, crashed the car, was shooting at police, and when the police finally caught up to him, he pointed the gun at the police, and the police shot at him on a motorcycle, and he put his gun down. Now, they shot at him for about 15 to 20 minutes, did not even hit him. But they kill this guy because they're sitting there talking to him where they could have just issued him a ticket. The guy who was actually shooting that police officer, they didn't kill him. And I don't have to tell you what race he was to tell you why they didn't why he wasn't killed. So
you know, you bring up a good point though. You bring up an excellent point here, Jerome. Hey, if he was selling, okay, I don't know the laws in New York, but if they thought he was selling illegal cigarettes, can't you just give him a ticket for that? I mean, I just don't understand why it had to get to that level.
Well, in New York State, well, I guess, I don't know if this is in all states, but you can't sell loose cigarettes. Like, you can't open a pack of cigarettes and sell them one at a time, which some of the corner stores do, right? So it's called
selling. But that's a misdemeanor, right?
Yeah. But you have to remember, I think it was Bush, when they changed the law, when they wanted to crack down on drug folks, they made the law so that you can arrest people with misdemeanors opposed to giving them tickets. See, we need to change our laws back. That was to round people up. So if you do little things that you used to get tickets for, now they can arrest you for them. But technically, again, they could have just gave him a ticket and mailed him a ticket in the mail. He owned the business. It wasn't like he wasn't going to be able to find him. they wanted to use excessive force because their testosterone was going and pretty much felt like they wanted to subdue him. But,
wow.
Again, in this case, I've seen many cases where white males and females have challenged the police and said, well, what are you going to do, and blah, 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 and they yelled at him and just said, just go home. This guy did not do anything active to require him being arrested, right? It was something that they could have gave him a ticket for.
It's a quarter till the top of the hour. You're listening to the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. Our call in number is 347-850-1272. One programming note, the URL for the show has just been changed. So if you are listening to the show from another website and you decide to refresh, that link will no longer work. You will have to either come to Blog Talk Radio, where we are housed, and lock in, or if you wait a few minutes, eventually the link will be filtered out to those websites who are locked into our show page. So just give it a few minutes and you should be able to get back into the show. Once again, if you are already listening, you're fine, but sometimes people may go to another website to research something that we've said, and I'm just here to tell you that the link is broken, and the link that you were using to listen to the show originally, it's no longer there. We'll get that fixed. Unfortunately, until we get it fixed, that's just something we have to deal with. We're talking about this situation with Eric Garner, young man who was killed by the New York Police Department. But here, let me go here with this, because doing my 3-minute commentary on Wednesday, you know, I was.
Obviously, Jay dropped out, but I don't always go on the stream in a commentary, but the bottom line is this. This man was killed, and there was no reason for him to be killed. You know, to me, the police do what they want to when they want to do it, and it seems like nothing ever happens to these police officers. Like you said, Jerome, with the young man that just got there that was shot 41 times, that nothing ever happened to him. I mean, it just seems like this is continually happening, and nothing's happening to these police officers, man. It's just, when does it stop? Will it stop?
And you know the interesting thing about that case, he was shot 41 times with his hands in the air because there were bullet wounds under his armpits, and they still tried to justify that. How are you going to have bullet wounds under your armpits? Yeah.
Of course they are, and I mean it just—I mean to me it just seemed like it's a mandate on us, and to me now they're starting to go after their own, like going after their own, the white people. So, you know, we don't even stand a chance, man. Some of the white people are getting killed, but man, it seems like it's just open season on us, and however you want to do it. And the guy wasn't resisting arrest. He said, "Why are you doing this to me?" You know. By legal rights, why are you arresting him? Why are you putting him in custody? Why are you detaining him? By his legal rights. So what did he do wrong?
It's
ridiculous.
Yeah, but even in the white population, they're not getting killed like by police like that. It is night and day in comparison. You have to do some extreme stuff as a white person to get killed by the police. Like really, really extreme. Like, and usually they still try. You can probably kill a couple of police officers before you actually get killed. Because, again, in that case, and I don't know if you ever saw the bank robbery in Los Angeles where the guy had full body armor shooting at police.
Yeah.
Somebody shot him in the face. They were just shooting it like he didn't even get killed. Like, it's interesting. You know, they were like, let's use rubber bullets. Let's not really kill this guy. And he was actively shooting at them. So, you know, when we look at this, and you know, I knew Johnny Gamage, who was killed in Pittsburgh. He was probably 135 pounds soaking wet. He's a short dude, and they said, "Oh, we thought his cell phone was a gun," and he was asphyxiated, which means a bunch of police officers jumped on him, putting knees in his chest, and they stopped him from breathing. And he was a little dude. He was not a big dude at all. Right? And none of those dudes went to jail.
Wow.
Wow.
So
I'm back, guys. I'm sorry about that. We had a power outage here in our Paris studio, but we're back live. Sorry about that. 347-850-1272. I missed that. Listen, before I was cut off, I was making a comment about something I said during the three-minute commentary, and I talked about MMA, and I talked about how in MMA-type situation, you know, you could be saved two ways. The referee can come in and stop the fight, or you can tap out. And what I said at the end of my three-minute commentary was that why can't we tap out? In other words, the one thing that I noticed in that video, Mr. Elias, and I already know what your response is going to be, but the one thing that I did notice is that when they, you know, when they had moved towards him to put his hands behind his back, he says, look, this is not happening today. Don't touch me. And then it just escalated. And my question is, why do we not tap out? I mean, listen, you've already said, you said this yesterday on the show, matter of fact, on the Jay Ryle show, you talked about how if a female hits you, and that's something that we're going to talk about third set, you said if a female puts her hands on you, you're going to walk away, you know, you're not going to do anything. And so here's the deal on this. My question to you is, same scenario, if the police ask you to put your hands behind your back, will you resist arrest, Mr. Elias?
Well, if he's asking a question, why am I being arrested, he's got every right to be asked that question.
You can question it. I'm saying that the conversation's over, all right? You know, they've heard all they want to hear about this. You know, it's starting to get to that point. My question to you is, if the cops say, hey, okay, turn around, buddy, do you comply or do you say, you know what, I'm not doing anything, don't touch me? I mean, I'm asking you just a straight-up question.
I would probably comply, man, knowing the way the cops are. But still, even if you do comply, like we were just talking about, Sean Bell had his hands up in the air, and they shot him 41
times. Well, that's true. Listen, I'm not arguing that. I'm not arguing that at all. And I don't want to, I don't want to mix apples and oranges. I'm not arguing that at all. And I'm not saying, if you go back, and for folks who missed that three-minute commentary, I'm not saying that even if you comply, that at the end of the day, everything is going to go the way it should go. I'm just saying, do we tap out? Do you put your hands in there? Do you comply?
I would comply, but still, you know, there's no guarantee that you're going to make it. There's no guarantee at all with these police officers, man. None. At all. What if, you know, if he complies and they still choke him out, what happens then? He did nothing wrong. This guy did not one thing wrong, not one either wrong. He's asking, why is this happening to me? Why are you doing this to me? And he's got every right to ask that question as a citizen.
I agree. I am not arguing with you on that at all. I am not arguing with you. I'm just asking you that if the police tell you, okay, buddy, turn your head, turn around, put your hands behind your back, are you going to say, no, don't put your hands on me, don't touch me? And then when they reach to grab you, you start, no, don't touch me, don't touch me. I mean, what would you do? And you're saying that, hey, you would probably comply. Let me ask Jerome, same question. And now the conversation's over. You said what you had to say. They're saying, look, we've had enough of this. We're going to take you downtown and you can have this conversation with whoever. If they ask you to turn around and put your hands behind your back, are you going to comply, Jerome?
I don't know. It depends.
Yeah, I'm thinking probably won't, and we have to come get you.
Say it again?
I'm thinking that you probably won't, and we're going to have to come and get you out of jail. Something tells me that you will be arrested, and you will have scratches on your face because you will not comply.
Here's the problem, and here's what's so conflicting, right? Black people are made to be passive. Like, that is what we do because we do that to self-protect, right? So we've been raised since, you know, slavery times that if the authorities say something, just do it because they'll kill you. And that's pretty much what still happens. Again, legally, with white folks, they'll tell you in a minute, no, I'm not doing that. Because how the laws are written, I can tell you, I was in my mid-20s, I guess, and a judge that I know, I asked him. I said, because I was standing around and saw someone who I went to junior high with or something, and I pulled over, had a really nice car at the time, and pulled over and talked to him. So a bunch of kids were standing on the corner, and the police was sitting there pretty much stalking them, just sitting there watching. They get out their car, the kids walk away, and I said, man, I just got off work. I am not leaving. right? And as the police walked up to me, I just looked at them. So I asked the judge, I said, if they would have came and asked me to move, what should I have done? He said, well, you don't have to do anything. He said, they can't tell you to move from a place that's a public place. And I said, I know. I said, but what if they said, we just want you to get out of this area, blah, blah, blah. And he said, well, the only thing legally you have to do is if they ask you for ID, you have to show them who you are, and you can just take your ID back. And I said, okay, tell me that again, and I'm black. And he started laughing. I get shot for snatching my ID back from policemen. They'll say, oh, I felt threatened. See, the law is on their side for them to use all of these, you know, governmental obstruction kind of laws to arrest your butt, right? You can get arrested for spitting. It's a health code violation in New York State. So the trick is that, no, you don't have to, if you don't break any laws, you really have a right to be wherever you are or to even say whatever you want. But the problem is that they don't adhere to it. So do we get scared of pressing that, or do we just say, let's just comply? Now, for little kids, I always tell youth, anybody up to their 20s, just do what they say. I can pay a ticket. Get out of there. I always say that. But at some point, as an adult, black people need to stand up and own it and be like, look, we need to stop harassing the community like that, and we really need to start pressing back. Because it hurts us politically when we get politicians in there and they say, well, we don't really know what happened and blah, 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 we need to wait. As a strategist, we need to get their butt up out of there. Now, you're going to either advocate or not, but that stuff ain't going on. We have to take a stand someplace. And I think I told the story about some kid who was being harassed. I was getting a pizza or something years ago, and the police had his back to me yelling at this black kid, and I said to him, why are you cursing at him when you why are you yelling at him when you cursed at him first? And the police looked, would not turn his badge toward me, and started backing up away from the kid, yelling at the kid, but he wouldn't let me see his face. But I had to intervene in that because that kid was going to jail. So I don't know what to tell you, but every case is different.
Yeah, it is. I think so. And I was reading some of the comments in the chat room from one of the big three, and he was making a comment about a person being in handcuffs and shot dead. And I'm not saying that you just, you know, that the situation wouldn't change. I mean, I don't want people to misconstrue that. And I think when people listen to the three-minute commentary, they were like, you know, well, what happens, you know, even if he would have complied, you never know what could have been the final result. Hey, listen, I'll give you that all day long and twice on Sunday. But what I'm saying to you is that, you know, Mr. Elias said it best. If the police, and I've been in situations where I've been pulled over by a police officer, and they were like, hey, buddy, you know, keep your hands where I can see them. I kept my hands where they could see them because I did not want any situation. I didn't want them to say I reached for a comb, I grabbed my wallet. I wanted to make sure they knew that wouldn't be, there would be no situation on my behalf. Hey, listen, I comply. Now, they may shoot me any damn way, but I'm not going to give them a reason or, you know, a reason to do anything to me that they shouldn't. And I'm just saying that it just seems to me that in all these situations, when you look at these folks, it's like the first thing they do is resist arrest. I'm like, why?
Not Sean Bell.
Well, not him.
Yeah, his hands.
Not him. Listen, I give you that.
Don't oversimplify that, Jay, either. Because remember, he said, I'm tired of y'all doing this. He might have complied maybe 6, 8, 10 times prior. He knew those. He was familiar with those police officers. He said, y'all come around here and do the same thing, and you know, is what he said. You know that that's not A, B, and C, and D. At what point do you get tired? They've done that before. It wasn't a one-time shot like that was, if he had just complied, he would have been all right. The reason that he was upset is because he said, I'm tired of y'all harassing. That's what happened. Allegedly, to help y'all out.
347-850-1272 as we wind down this particular topic. Listen, I said that what is so, during the three-minute commentary on that Wednesday, I said what is so troubling for me is to watch this and that how in the greatest country in the world you have these people who feel that they can just whoop your ass, put you in handcuffs, and kill you without any remorse. You know, there was a video out there on YouTube, and I'm not on YouTube, but on Facebook, where this guy was in a police station. I'm not sure if you've seen it. He was in a police station, and these two big white cops tackled him, and they knocked him to the ground. Now, they told him to turn around, and he didn't. But then when they had him on the ground, he said, "Sir, I can't breathe, sir. You broke my leg, sir. But he still wouldn't, you know, he still wouldn't comply. And all of a sudden, all these cops jumped on. He was beating his ass. And I said to myself, and that's that was the reason why I made that 3-minute commentary. You know, listen, comply. I mean, I don't know.
First of all, allegedly the greatest country in the world. So check this out. In the case where the woman who was walking along the highway, which
right.
you can get a ticket for, got punched in the face, jumped down and punched off by the police, we can't keep making excuses why we contribute to somebody punching you in your face.
Well, I'm not.
Nobody
can. And I don't want it to be construed that way. I'm not at all. By no stretch of the imagination am I saying that.
Yeah, but here's my point. When the law breaks the law, there is none.
Right.
I can't tell you how to act when the police break the law. I mean, we have very specific laws against that, right? That's why the founding fathers does not, and the Republicans say this all the time, you know, government oversteps and this and that. They put in their securities for individuals so that the law does not break the law. Just like the reason to uphold the Second Amendment, I think it was it was right after the Civil War. One of the chief justices ruled that if we took all the black people's guns, because they wanted to pass some laws that made it illegal in the South for black folks to carry guns, and the chief justice ruled that since a lot of black people in rural areas and there are a lot of corrupt sheriffs and police officers with the Klan, we would leave them sitting ducks, and they voted that down and say that you still have a right to carry guns. And they knew that when he was saying that, he was saying even the police is harassing black people. So they have a right to defend yourself. You have a right to save your own life. There is nothing that says that if somebody comes and punches you in your face, you can't defend yourself. Right? There are laws on the book, even in New York State. It is perfectly legal, and I'm not advocating that anybody ever does this, but it's perfectly legal. If you see somebody about to commit bodily harm to a friend of yours or somebody who you know and you shoot them, you actually are justified in shooting them if you think they're going to kill somebody standing next to you. We have laws on the books for that kind of stuff. So there is nothing, like, lopsided about this. And just because you get a paycheck from the government and work for the police department, you're not above the law. We just skewed that because people are so doggone crazy, especially during the drug, during the 80s with the war on drugs, of building all of these prisons and hiring all these police officers and brainwashing you to saying police is good, people are bad, and you don't know what people will do. And police just started overstepping their bounds and just kept going. We've always had corrupt police officers, but we've always had a mechanism to deal with that. The main thing
right,
is to save your life first. And I don't care
good
if it's
stuff.
Saving your life by resisting or not resisting, but you don't let somebody take your life just because, I did everything that they said, like Sean Bell's case, where, you know, he did the same thing. And with Sean Bell, got pulled over, police shot into the car. What are you going to do?
Yeah. You're right, Jerome. Good stuff. All right, coming up next, Stephen A. Smith. He made some comments that got people pissed off. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here.
This is a test.
As we jump into the second set with laughter, a hearty laughter from Topic Style. Welcome back in, folks. 347-850-1272.
A show for women, by women. Is your resident, not for the South, Mom Little Donna.
Good Sunday morning to you, folks, and welcome into the serious side of the TJRS, broadcasting live from the Smooth Jazz Jazz Cafe.
Powerhouse Sports Talk Radio.
Welcome back. You are tuning in to the True Purpose Development Show. Tonight, we...
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network. Thank you.
But what I've tried to employ the female members of my family, some of who you all met and talked to and what have you, is that, again, and this is what I've done this all my life, let's make sure we don't do anything to provoke wrong actions.
Welcome back. 347-850-1272 is our calling number. 347-850-1272. You're listening to the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network online radio. And it's best coming up in about an hour. It's on a need-to-know basis with our man, Jerome Esprit. Can't wait to get into that conversation. Also want to say what's up to Paul listening in from Montana. I know Paul, actually. Good morning, Paul. Glad you are listening to us. I want to also say what's going on to James. James is listening to us from North Carolina. Good morning, James. Welcome to the show. And, of course, Beth, she's listening from right here in Spring, Texas. Good morning to you and yours. Glad you guys are tuning in to the Serious Side. Let's say good morning to our panelists one last time. My man, Mr. Elias, is in the house. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, and good morning, everyone.
And, of course, the smartest man in the world, Jerome Esprit. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning.
Once again, folks, glad you guys are here. And we're here every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Central right here on the TGRS Radio Network online radio at its best. Well, the post, the most controversial topic, I think, of the morning, Stephen A. Smith, ESPN Stephen A. Smith. He's one of the hosts on First Take. Stephen A. Smith made some comments about an incident that happened with All-Pro running back for the All-Pro running back for the Baltimore Ravens, Ray Rice. Ray Rice, this past summer, allegedly, Jerome, I'll use that word here. There's video of him and his fiance entering an elevator, knowing that when they emerged, the only person was standing was Ray Rice. It looked as if he had cold cocked his then fiance, now she's his wife, and she was unconscious. And so the NFL this week handed down a suspension for Ray Rice, and it was only a 2-game suspension. So people are going ape doo-doo behind this. Well, Stephen A. Smith was asked about this particular situation. Here were his comments.
But what I've tried to employ the female members of my family, some of who you all met and talked to and what have you, is that, again, and this is what I've done this all my life, let's make sure we don't do anything to provoke wrong actions.
Now, what I want to do is, that's not the full clip, that was the post. I'm going to get the full clip loaded in because I think it's important for people to hear exactly what he said. But just on that piece alone, Mr. Elias, and I know we talked about this a little bit on the J. Ryle Show yesterday, Stephen A. Smith, the comments that he made, what do you think? Was he right? Because he's saying, listen, don't provoke a man in hitting you. I mean, he said that look, Ray Rice was wrong in what he did. But don't provoke the man. Don't provoke a man in punching your lights out. So what are your comments on this?
I stick by my guns what I said yesterday. You walk away. If that woman is provoking you, you walk away because you don't want to end up in jail. You don't want to end up in a chokehold. And you don't want to end up, you know, you just walk away. You're the stronger being. Walk away. Leave it alone. I'll say that to the end of time. Walk away.
You know, Jerome, we had fun with this yesterday, but it's a serious matter. What we talked about was if this female is punching your lights out, I mean, she is knocking the hell out of you. I mean, how can you walk away when a female, maybe, you know, she hits you, knocked out 2 teeth? Bottom line is, how do you walk away from a situation like that? If she, I don't know. I'm mixed on this, Jerome, as you can see, because on one hand, listen, my mom was a victim of that. And, you know, I would not sit back and allow anyone to put their hands on my mother. And I don't think any man should be putting his hands on a female. But if a female continues to get in your face, continues to do things to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, what do you do? Just shake her? I mean, what do you do? What do you do? What do you do? What do you do?
Shake her. Hey, lucky you didn't ask me what you asked LES in that blunt of a term, because we used to laugh about this. I've always had a policy, and it was from my mother. She said, don't you ever, some women can fight, Don't you ever cower in the corner and let some female beat you up. Because if a person raised their hands to you, they probably can beat you. So we never, even in my, and a couple of my friends, I remember we used to say that like junior high, high school age, and everybody used to laugh. Because I can't see you hitting women. And I said, no, it's not. You walk away if somebody comes and pushes you or whatever. But if she knuckle up to you, like, you can't run away from that. Like, technically, it's like looking at the Jay-Z Stallone thing where she was kicking at him in the elevator. Yeah, he's not going to do that, but she's not going to square up on him at 2 o'clock in the morning in the middle of the street. I don't think he's going to run from that. You know what I mean? Because you still have to protect yourself, too. It doesn't mean that you have to go fully beat her down, right? You're totally in control, but you can get somebody off you. I don't understand the question and why everybody's so sensitive to saying, like, that's abuse. People who abuse women, they're flat wrong. But if somebody's fighting you, there is no reason. There are some people who come hit you because they are like, you're not going to hit me back, so I'm going to hit you. But that's not a good policy either. So especially with little kids, little girls are mean, right? That whole gender-specific thing just to say, hey, if that's a little girl, you always walk away. No, you need to make sure that you are not the aggressor when it comes to putting your hands on nobody. But at the same time, you don't let anybody make you feel worthless, no matter what your gender is.
You know, I'm glad you said that, because there's a difference. There's a difference from protecting yourself versus abuse. So you're saying, and let me make sure we're on the record here. So you're saying that if a female squares up and knuckles up to you and swings and punches your lights out.
No, she didn't punch my lights out. She punches me. We'll see whose light's going to get knocked out. That's all I'm saying. Right? You don't wait to get beat up to say that I should have reacted. Right? If somebody is threatening to you, you don't have, you can't just turn your back to that. That's not smart. If somebody's being an aggressor towards you, I'm saying you're talking the difference between abuse and like I said, we get so convoluted in absolutes in the society. Like, it's like you cannot ever put your hands on women. No, you should never put your hands on women. But nobody, male or female, should come up to you and swing at your face. And I don't mean like the slap kind of thing. People get mad and they shove and all of that. I'm talking about somebody who's there to do you harm.
All right, let's get out to the phone line.
Don't get that twisted.
Oh, well, trust me. The example I used yesterday was Layla Ali. I'm like, here, this lady here is a five-time champion, and she's welling on you, and I'm going to say, oh, baby, don't hit me, and I'm going to walk away and cower because, you know, society tells us that we're not supposed to put our hands on a female. And I'm thinking, man, this is not an average female, though. I mean, this woman here is knocking people out for a living, and I'm going to sit here and, I don't know, it's just a weird topic. Let's get out to the phone lines. Mr. Elias, who do we have on the line, sir?
We got Q on the line from Atlanta.
Q from Atlanta, welcome to the Serious Side. What's your comments on this topic?
Hey, how you doing? Can you hear me? I'm out jogging. I want to make sure the wind isn't catching the microphone.
No, you're fine, man. You're fine, man. What are your comments?
All right. Now, I'm going to preface this so that way you don't think I'm female bashing. There's a point to what I'm about to say. So, you gentlemen naturally would find clitoral abuse a wrong thing. I would agree that, for the sake of argument, everybody might agree on that. But you have this demographic of ladies who think that penis abuse is hilarious. Proof of this, you look at Miss Osborne on her show The View last year or what have you, made the statement. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
Yes.
I made the statement of cutting a man's penis off and throwing in the garbage disposal, and all the ladies burst out laughing. So when we have this conversation about this hitting back or not hitting back, we must remember there's a segment of human beings called female who think that abusing you is funny, who think that abusing you is hilarious. And what you got to understand, in that moment, are you chivalrous by not protecting yourself? Are you chivalrous by not letting this other human being know not to harm you? Or are you chivalrous in taking abuse? Are you chivalrous in getting kicked and probably never being able to function again? Are you chivalrous? Are these things admirable, taking abuse? And the reality is, gentlemen, no other race of male thinks this way. When you talk to the Asian, they have no problem in hitting back. When you talk to the Jewish, they have no problem in hitting back. Italians and so on and so forth. And these are people that we consider very respectful toward ladies. But they understand that these are human beings. And when a human being decides, you know what, I know this idiot is not going to do anything back, so I'm not going to be accountable. No accountability is going to come towards me. I'm going to harm this person. What did the Ku Klux Klan do? The Ku Klux Klan went around harming people because they knew in the era they were raised, in the town that they were raised, that they were no harm would come back. But here's the last part of my punchline. What we tell males is, take that abuse. It's a man to be abused in that way. I got 5 sisters, and my oldest sister told me what the other gentleman told me. Don't you ever let a female hurt you like that. Don't you ever let a female disrespect you like that. I remember I was playing. Some girl came along and said, "You want to be my boyfriend?" I said, "No." She hit me. I hit her back. She went and got her sister. Sister want to fight me. It turned into this big family against family thing, and I'm like, hold on. All I was doing was playing with you. So I'm proving the other panelist's point. We are human beings, and somewhere along the line, we urban males have convinced women, do what you want to. Do what you want to. You will not be held accountable. We will blame a man in some regard. And hopefully I don't sound like a male bashing. I'm just keeping it real, like, with us when we do wrong. Hey, dude, there's something wrong with you. You hitting females. You need to get that corrected. When a female hits or hurts or stabs someone, we say, what does the man do?
Good, hey man, good comments, man. Great phone call, Q, man. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the support. You know what? So let me go back to you, Mr. Elias, because I wanted to – I found Jerome's comments, and this is why I call this guy the smartest man in the world. His comments were on point. Now, after listening to what Jerome said, do you still have your – do you agree with Jerome, Mr. Elias? I guess that's my first question for you.
I'm still going to walk away, Jay, because you know what? If there are no witnesses around and anything goes down, you're still going to jail. You might not, you're going to jail. If there are no witnesses around to vindicate what you said, she can always turn around and say, hey, he hit me, he did this to me, he did that to me. And because you are a man, guess what? A black man, you're going to jail. I'm sticking by my guns on that one.
Well, so wait a minute. I just want to hear you say.
You got to have video tape. You got to have witnesses. You got to have everything. So instead of going through all that, I'm just going to run away. I'm not even going to walk away. I'm going to run away.
I want to hear you say you disagree with Jerome. So do you disagree?
I'm going to say. I'm just going to say what I just said, and I'm going to leave it at that. Let me say this.
I agree with Elias.
Oh, here we go. Boy, I tell you, it's good to be true.
Jay, everything is not oversimplified like that. It depends on what your situation is. So you want him to disagree with me for the sake of making it look like we don't think alike or we are our opposite sides. What I'm saying, you can use the same argument with men and women, with black people and white folks. If a white person hits you, do you hit them? Because you know by default when the police come, they're going to choke you out. You know this is going to happen. So what do? Do you just walk away because they white? Or do you just, you know what I mean? You can use the argument not just for male and female. It is a systemic
issue with
black males generally when it comes to, are you going to be believable when the third person comes on the scene? That is a systemic problem.
What you said made it so clear for me, because I was struggling with this topic, because I talked about this yesterday on the Jay Ryle show during 10 Good Minutes, where I said, look, I'm not too sure if you're going to square up on me. Listen, a female told me this a long time ago, and the ladies on the show disagree with her. She says, look, if a female square up to you and punch you, she said you punch her ass back because she has no business stepping to you like that. Trust me, she's stepping to you like that because she knows that push comes to shove, she can get away with punching you and kicking you, and the law is going to fall on her side. She says, so look, when I square up on a man, and she says, look, I've squared up on plenty of brothers. Hey, they punch me back? Oh, well, I knew what I was getting into. And so then, I, you know, I read some comments after that show. And, you know, women, oh, my God, they're taking it to the extreme. Oh, my God, that sounds like a woman who was abused, and you're advocating abuse. Right. No, you're not. What this lady's saying, look, I know, it's just, okay, let's use us for example. Mr. Elias, would you walk up to The Rock and slap him in his face? Hell no, he's probably listening to phone calls. I know I wouldn't, because I'm thinking that man will beat the hell out of me. So why am I going to walk up to somebody that I know that can probably take me down and slap him? So, right. And to me, Jerome, what she is saying, like, look, you know what's going to happen to you are the possibilities of what could happen to you if you square off on this brother. So why even put yourself in that situation? And then don't cry wolf when he turns around and knocks the hell out you.
Right, because there's no free pass in that, and I think that, I mean,
right.
That was my point. My mother said that years ago. She said, if a woman does that, she probably can't beat you. Like, she's not going to just go slap you just because she thinks that you're going to run away. She's that aggressive. You need to make sure that you're going to be okay. That's not cool.
See, I agree with that.
Arbitrarily walk away from that.
See, I agree. And I think that's what Stephen A. Smith was trying to say. And people are going crazy because of his comments. I mean, one of his colleagues on ESPN, she went off on him saying that, oh, my God, I guess if I wear a dress, I have to be careful. I may get my lights punched out. You know, the bottom line is I think what they're doing is they are really and truly messing this up. They're
oversimplifying.
Well, there you go, and they're taking his comments and they're twisting his comments around, and I don't think that's right. Now, Mr. Elias, he said that he would walk away, and that's his prerogative. It happened to me before, and I mentioned this yesterday, where this lady hit me so hard she knocked the gum out of my mouth, right? And I looked at her like, no, you didn't. And you know, I said, hey, and I tried to walk away, and she just kept punching me. She kept swinging on me till I had to grab her and throw her ass down on the ground and hold her down and say, look, I was trying to shake the hell out of her, Jerome, because I'm like, what are you doing? But I knew if I raised my hand, they would come and throw me in jail.
Right, but even from grabbing her, you could have been brought up on charges if she would have started crying when the police got there. You know, it would have been like, I can't believe he put his hands on me. You're like, I grabbed her to stop her from hitting me, and it would be like, well, we don't know that, but we're going to sort this out later. See, by default, you are going to lose as a male in society generally, right?
And that's what happened.
In society,
that's
in
what happened.
In male society, you are also. But that doesn't mean anything to the basic principle of the fact that you should not allow anybody to make you feel worthless. And so, male or female, you cannot go out and put your hands on anybody. I don't need a video camera to say, I don't know who's watching this, right? Because with the way hearsay goes, all you got to do is say, well, me, right? It's your word against the other person unless they have a witness. So, technically, you don't know who started a fight ever. But, you know, again, I'm not advocating that. All I'm just trying to do is make a point is that we talk about this is the same topic with a different context, right? Black people are getting killed by police even if they comply. So why comply when you know you're going to die? You're getting hit by females. So whether you push them off you or you fight them back, you are still getting abused, and that makes you feel some kind of way. You know, and so we have to still say either your values or principles are exactly the same across the board,
or because that's schizophrenia to feel like in this situation I have to do this, in this situation I have to do that. You know when you're in a threatening situation. You know, I don't hit little kids back when little kids hit me. I pretty much laugh at them and go over there. You know, you don't fight just to fight, right? So you know the difference between somebody trying to harm you and somebody trying to get your attention.
So you wouldn't have a problem if you know, a guy's walking down the street or you see two people arguing, this female slaps this guy, and he slaps her back. You wouldn't have a problem with that at all?
And I saw her slap him first?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I don't know what happened.
Well, she was
still here. If he beat her down, then
that's different.
Excessive. I
agree with that.
I would probably intervene if he just started going crazy on her. But I saw was her walk up and slap him, and he slapped her back. Did she stop or did she keep going? Because if she stopped and he stopped, he slapped her to let her know he's you're not going to just sit here and just beat me down. But if he was the aggressor, that's a whole different story. I'll give you a prime example. One year I was shoveling snow. A woman walking down the street, clearly upset, said, you know, can I use your phone to call the police kind of thing? And the guy was in the car yelling at her to get in the car. So I said, yeah, you can use my phone. Right? And I did not stop shoveling. I was going to give her my phone. And the guy gets out of the car, and I just looked at him because he's not coming up on my property. And I said, yep, just come over and use the phone. She would not come over, and I didn't go over and give it to her, and she jumped in the car with that fool. Now, technically, I would have had to fight him if I went and intervened because technically I don't know what was going on in that situation, and she just might have been mad. But if you wanted to call the police, here, use my phone to call them. But I wasn't intervening in that just because what I thought I saw was her in it being abused. I don't know what happened. I mean, I made note of the license plate, but that's my responsibility as a citizen. No, seriously. I'm not going to let nothing happen to her, but I didn't feel like she was clearly had the ability to get out of that situation and have safe haven. She could have came in my house. I gave her my phone, whatever. She clearly had an out. But when she does not take it, it's not clearly my responsibility to intervene like I knew what was going on.
Right. Okay. All right. Now, I mentioned earlier in the show, I wanted to play Stephen A. Smith's full. I wanted people to hear his full remarks because, you know, you listen to the full remarks and then you make a judgment because, you know, people have been playing bits, sound bits, and I want you to hear everything. When he was asked a question, here was his response.
We keep talking about the guys. We know you have no business putting your hands on a woman. I don't know how many times I got to reiterate that. But as a man who was raised by women, see, I know what I'm going to do if somebody touches a female member of my family. I know what I'm going to do. I know what my boys are going to do. I know what I'm going to have to remind myself that I work for the worldwide leader. I'm going to have to get law enforcement officials involved because of what I'm going to be tempted to do. But what I've tried to employ the female members of my family, some of whom you all met and talked to and what have you, is that, again, and this is what I've done this all my life, let's make sure we don't do anything to provoke wrong actions. Because if I come or somebody else come, whether it's law enforcement officials, your brother, or the fellas that you know, if we come after somebody has put their hands on you, it doesn't negate the fact that they already put their hands on you. So let's try to make sure that we can do our part in making sure that that doesn't happen.
Now, those were his full comments. Mr. Elias, I'm going to ask you to let everyone in. I'm some odd reason I got kicked out. But those were his full comments. And so, you know, when you listen to his full comments, you know, he prefaced that by saying, look, there's no way that a man should put his hands on a female. Bottom line. But, you know, once again, females, don't feel that you have a license to hit because, you know, when the cops show up, then, you know, they're going to let you slide because of the situation. So, you know, after hearing his comments, Mr. Elias, hearing the whole statement per se, do you feel the same way about the comments that Stephen A. made, or Are you still, you know, on the side that you're on in regards to this?
I'm gonna stick. I'm gonna stick with my guns on this one, Jay. I'm gonna walk away. I'm gonna run away. Bottom line, because like I said, me being a black man and the police are who they are. First thing they're gonna say is, "Hey, why'd you hit her?" Or click, click. You got to go to jail. Bottom line. So
right,
I'm just gonna stick with that one. I'm not going to jail. I'm good.
347-850-1272 is the call-in number, 347-850-1272, Jay Rowell Show. Beautiful, I mean, well, actually, the serious side of the Jay Rowell Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network online radio. It's best. A few more minutes left in this particular set. We're talking about the comments that Stephen A. Smith made in regards to females, men hitting women. And I think that there's a difference. There's a difference between abuse and then there's a difference in protecting yourself. And I think that, and I'm glad we talked about it this morning because I have a clear picture with this because I was somewhat conflicted with this particular topic, Jerome, because I said, my God, you know, I know that every woman on the face of this planet, I should be able to kick her ass. Now, I don't care if she is, you know, the women on TV, these ass-kicking blondes on TV and, you know, these bad female cops. There is not a woman on the face of this planet should be able to beat me. I don't care what she does. But at the same time, but there are some women, and I mentioned some of those ladies, who have the ability that are working out, who are boxers and all this stuff, that can do damage. And so I'm thinking, okay, you know, what do I do if I get hit by a female? And like I said, I was in a situation like this, and Jerome, you were absolutely correct. What happened was, just to finish that story, that what she did was she was trying, you know, I'm a big music fan, right? So I had all these cassette tapes. This was back in the 80s, my music collection. So she was trying to provoke me to hit her. And so she took my collection, and she was smashing them. And I'm like, you know, what are you doing? You know, and I'm like, hey, stop, you know. And she kept calling me all these names. And when she saw that her breaking my precious collection would not provoke me into choking the hell out of her ass, she decided that she was going to put her hands on me. And you know how if someone hits you, you can kind of brace for that hit? But, you know, the reason why she knocked the gum out of my mouth was because I had no idea that she was going to swing on me like that. It was quick, too, Mr. Elias. Pow! And I was like, damn, did you just smack me? And she said, yeah. She called me a B, and she hit me again. And she tried to kick me between my legs, but because I have kung fu flexes, you know, kung fu reflexes, I prevented her from kicking me in my cannolis. But my goodness. So I said, okay, I got to stop this. So I grabbed her, and I pushed her up against the wall, and I said, this is not going to work because she can still knee me in my family jewels. So I threw her down to the floor, lightly, I might add. And I held her down, and I was like, you need to stop. So she was spitting in my face, right? And I said, I'm not going to let you up until you calm down. And so when she said, yeah, I'm calm, when I let her up, she kicked me in the knees. And then she ran out the door. And so what she did was she ran to the nearest military post and told the MPs that I had abused her.
Mm-hmm.
And so here I am in my house. I get a knock at the door about an hour and a half later, and it's the MPs saying, we need to take you to the MP station. I'm like, for what? Because we have a report that your wife said that you put your hands on her. And I told them the situation. They were like, oh, well. And what Jerome, you said was absolutely correct. They took me down. Thank God I knew the desk sergeant. And when I got down there, he says, man, what's going on? I told him, he says, look, take him back to his house, and you tell her the next time we come out, we're throwing her behind in jail. That's because the guy knew me. But the point is, Jerome, is like you said, that they came out, even with me putting, I'm trying to restrain her. And because I, you know, grabbed her, you could see, because I was, you know, you could see around her wrist. Look, dude, I was holding on, man. This girl was kicking my ass.
Right? But that was to Elias's point, right? You are going down no matter what the story goes, you have to make the decision because you are going to get questioned for that.
I mean, I've seen, you know, I want to put this in a race context. I saw this older white female curse somebody out, just right into them. And then by the time the police got there, she was like, I can't believe he did that. And the police was jumping on the dude. And I started laughing. And they said, why are you laughing? I said, if you get used to actually being treated like that, I'm sure that happened, you know, during segregation time where people talk noise to you. And then when authorities come, they act like they're the victims. And by default, hey, they're going to get the call. You make a decision whether you want to walk away from them or not. So sometimes when you're in oppressive situations, you're like, I know I'm not getting a fair shot where I am. I need to walk away. You need to make that call on the fly. So I understand completely why some people don't do that. And like you said, just because you knew the death sergeant, it turned out differently. But if you'd have had somebody who had, that's why I hate, I shouldn't say hate, I don't hate anything. But that's why I dislike the zero tolerance. If somebody gets in a fight, they all get suspended. That's stupid. That is irresponsible. And that is flat from us wanting to, not take responsibility. So when you make policies where you don't have to take responsibility to sort out a problem, and then the police don't take responsibility of sorting out a problem before they figure out who's going to be arrested, and say, well, we'll just let the courts do it, and the court says you should have figured that out in your house, that's too much irresponsibility. I mean, like, we have to, as a society, say, I mean, and the law is clear. Neither one, assault is assault. You put your hands on you first, you can go to jail. So abuse is abuse. You can't make that gender specific.
You know, yeah, you're right, and I agree with that. The bottom line is that people have to be careful, and I think that, you know, once again, I don't want people to confuse this with domestic violence, because the bottom line is that our abuse, because if a man is beating a woman, and because, you know, I watched something, Mr. Elias, I can't remember what it was. I wish I did, because I wanted to look that story up and see what happened. But it was a situation where his father was beating his wife, and she was a beautiful woman, right? And then he would allow his son to beat the mama. And she was like, I just couldn't get out of that situation. If she did something wrong, this guy would step up to the plate and say, hey, you know what? You didn't cook this right. Pow-yow. Slap the hell out of her. So I think that what happens is that we confuse the two. We confuse, you know, the fact that a woman is being physically abused or in an abusive relationship. We compare that to if a female hauls off and slaps a man for no reason at all. Or even if there is an argument, you know, once again, if you were face-to-face with a guy and, you know, he swung on you, you'd swing back. I mean, I remember us talking about this about a year ago, and we talked about how now the military has, you know, started letting females serve in combat units, because females saying, look, we want to be treated equally. But they don't want to be treated equally when it comes to this particular topic. Your thoughts, Mr. Elias?
Well, bottom line is, if you can do the job, you should get. I said that before. If you can do the job, you should get paid for it. If you can't do the job, you shouldn't get paid for it. That's just how I feel about it.
So if you can step up to a man and get in his face, and
no,
feel
I'm not
that
saying
you
that.
Can.
Nope. I don't care who you are. I'll stick to my guns on that. If you're a female and you hit me, I'm going to walk away from it. I might run away from it because I'm not going to jail. I'm not doing that. Because no matter what, I'm at fault. See, that's what you're failing to realize that. No matter what I do, even if I got witnesses around me that said she walked up to me and slapped me the first and I was defending myself, we're both going to jail then. We're both going to jail. Not just me. We are. I was going to say, well, she walked up to him, he slapped him, and he was defending himself. Well, both of you going to jail. So I'm not going to jail. I'm going to leave it alone. I'm going to walk away from it.
347-850-1272 is our calling number, 347-850-1272. The Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. We're talking about the situation, the comments that Stephen A. Smith made in regards to the Ray Rice situation. If you're just joining us, Ray Rice, all-pro running back for the Baltimore Ravens. This man, over the summer, he and his wife were in Vegas. Apparently there was an altercation, words were exchanged, and apparently fists were exchanged as well. And there's a video feed that shows Ray Rice dragging his unconscious girlfriend, fiance at the time, now they're married, out of an elevator. And so the NFL this past week suspended Ray Rice for the first two games of the season, and people were pissed off. And so Stephen A. Smith was asked to give his comments on this particular situation, and he made the remarks that, hey, men should not put their hands on women. That's true. But at the same time, women shouldn't provoke men into an altercation. And so I'm glad we had the conversation this morning, because I was somewhat conflicted with this particular topic, because on one hand, you know, listen, like I said before, I witnessed this. You know, it's a man hitting a woman is the worst thing in the world. But if a female squares off on you first and has a little bit of zip to her punch, and, you know, when she punches you in your mouth, your two front teeth are a little loose, then I'm thinking, wait a minute. You know, if you hit me, it's time to rumble. You know, I'm going to hit you back, or I'm going to slap you. Now, I probably wouldn't do it. Well, I know I won't do it because it happened to me. But I can't fault men who do it. And what we come to the conclusion was that Stephen A. Smith was trying to convey that message. Hey, don't provoke me. Don't get in my face and hit me or thinking you can man up to me, because it's no contest. So why would you square off on someone who you know you can't beat? And I asked the gentleman on the panel this morning, and I'll ask you, Mr. Elias, because I think you went away to answer a phone call or something. But would you walk up to The Rock and slap the hell out of him?
No, I sure wouldn't. I wouldn't walk up to no man and slap the hell out of him.
Well, but listen, but you definitely wouldn't step up to him, because that Joker would probably beat the hell out of you.
Yeah, I would walk up, like I said, I wouldn't walk up to no man and slap him, because, hey, that's just not, you know, what would I gain from that, man? No, I'm not going to do that either, because, you know, I'm not going to jail for that. I'm just going to stick to my guns on that one.
What were you about to say, bro?
After The Rock said something to my mama.
You know what? Hey, who was the comedian? So, mama, what did you say to him? Hey, what did she do? What did she do? Remember, who said that, Miss Ellie? Was that Martin?
I forgot who the comedian was. He said, hey, you on your own.
Yeah, so if Mike Tyson hit my mama, I'd ask Mike Tyson, what'd she do? Mama, you know you shouldn't be getting in Mike Tyson's business like that. Yeah, so you know, but you think about it, you know, we make light of it, but the bottom line is, and I think we all can agree, well, at least on this very rare occasion that Jerome and I are on the same side of the fence, and Mr. Elias is on the other side, that, hey, if you walk up to a guy and you hit him, then, damn it, you need to be prepared for what happens. You need to be prepared for what happens. And, you know, and I'm like you, Mr. Elias, I'm going to stick to my guns on that, because I think that no female, I think the only reason why they do it is because they know that they have the law in their corner. It goes back to some of the things we talked about before with females and the situation with child support. You know, I told the story a while back when we had this as a show topic of a situation of a young man who pays his child support on time. He does everything he's supposed to do that the court is requiring him to do. The court tells the mom that the child has to be available for this man, and she just defies what the court says. The court said she cannot move out of the area because the father needs to have access to the baby. She takes the child and moves. And he goes to court, and they don't do anything to her. But let's say that he took that baby on a visit and went away. All of a sudden, everybody's cell phones are ringing because there's an Amber Alert. Because, you know, he's taking the child. The law, in my opinion, is skewed when it comes to those things, and it's in favor of women. And it's just not right. Jerome, you remember when we talked about the young lady who had sexual intercourse with this man? He used a condom. He threw the condom in the trash can. She grabbed the condom and impregnated herself with it, and he still had to pay child support.
Yeah.
You tell me where the laws are going when it comes to stuff like this. You tell me.
Yeah. And that's why I always say this when it comes to laws. They never repeal laws on the books. You never really hear of any jurisdiction, especially local, of somebody putting out a bad law and then they'll come back and say, oh, we repealed that law. They'll put another law on top of a bad law. But there is no way that you can say that somebody is responsible when somebody does something that they should be able to go to jail for.
right, because it wasn't his intent, and he took the necessary precautions so that should negate him from all of his liability. But I know some feminists or whatever will say to me, hey, but it was still his child and he has a responsibility. People say that bull all the time. But I'm saying a bad parent will mess you up. You know, sometimes it's better to have only one parent if your second parent is going to be abusive to you. So, I always take issue with this when I hear people saying, you know, things like, if I had two parents in the house, it would have been this or that. There's no guarantee. You just need good souls around you generally.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. All right, let me get your final comments on this particular topic. Let me start with you, Mr. Elias. Final thoughts on this particular topic.
Well, my final comments are just this, man. Unless you have videotape or witnesses that are going to corroborate your story, and after really run and save yourself, because I'm telling you, you're going to end up with a record of behind
right.
bars for domestic violence. Leave it alone. That's just my comment.
Well, I hear you. So if you had a videotape, would you punch her?
No, I wouldn't. Still wouldn't.
Okay.
You know, you're still not going to jail anyway.
Okay. Jerome. Go ahead,
yeah.
Jerome.
You know, this reminds me of an episode of Boondock years ago where the guy had shot somebody. He was eating a jelly donut, so he left chocolate on his shirt. And the guy who was dying said the white guy did it. And the police showed up and arrested the black guy anyway. Like, it's like, no matter what you do, no matter how much evidence you do have to watch what situation that you're in. So, I'm going to have to say, evaluate your situation. Don't put your hands on nobody. But you should not let anybody just beat you down just because you're scared you're going to get prosecuted. Not scared, but just because you need to understand that your life is valuable as well.
No, call it what it is. It is scared. It's you're scared. You're scared that you're going to be prosecuted.
No.
And I guess fear is, I guess, is a beautiful thing, I guess.
No,
call it what it is.
I don't think they're scared. If you think that the person can't harm you, you'll let them hit you. That's the point, right? So if a female comes and beats on your chest like the old, you know, movies from the 30s, you're not going to fight her back. But these women aren't doing that now. They're trying to knock your teeth out. So
yeah.
You need to make sure you keep your teeth. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, man. All right,
chest,
folks.
I'd be cool. I wouldn't hit her back if she came there and just hit me in my chest. Get upset. I'll be fine.
Oh, man. All right, so that's it for this Sunday morning's topic, but we're not done. Before we go, is next, and on need-to-know basis right around the corner. Don't go nowhere.
Yeah. Omówiono najważniejsze sprawy związane z dalszym rozwojem województwa i kraju.
The week that was in the news.
All right, folks, it is time for, before we go, a quick look at some stories that made headlines this past week. And Mr. LES, man, football season has started. Training camps are out there, man. How do you feel that now we're only 30 days away from contact American football?
I'm excited, man. I got my fantasy football team ready, and I'm ready to roll with it, baby. I'm ready to roll.
Okay. Is it me? Or are we seeing too much of Johnny Manziel? Oh, my God.
What do you expect, man? He's a franchise player, man. What do you expect?
Man, I watched NFL Network yesterday, and that's all they showed was Johnny Manziel. Really?
What do
I'm
you
tired
expect,
of it.
Man?
What do you mean, what do I expect? I expect? Huh?
Better get ready for it. That's how they're going to play us, Johnny Manziel.
Oh, my man. God, it's ridiculous. Yeah. Jerome, it's ridiculous.
Back to said, Rocky Marciano.
There you go.
Oh, that's their one. Oh, I like that. I like the way you put that together. That was nice. Oh, my God. On a more serious note, the trial for the shooting of Renisha McBride started. The 19-year-old, she was black and unarmed when she approached the house, or she was on the porch of the house of one Theodore Wafer, 55. This guy shot her and saying that he was in fear of his life. Now, you know, Mr. Elias, there's been conflicts here. The guy, first of all, said he shot because he was in fear of his life, but now he's saying that he thought the gun was unloaded. I mean, where are we going with this?
Loaded. Yeah, I heard that crap. He thought the gun wasn't loaded, really? So then why did you take
he was
going
to try to
why
scare her.
Why'd you take a gun out there if you know it wasn't loaded? Hell, if I got a gun pointed at somebody, I'm damn sure going to have it loaded. I'm not going to have to take a gun, unloaded gun to somebody that I'm scared of, really. That makes a lot of sense.
I know where he was going with that. Whatever the jury needs to let him off, he gave him every defense they possibly could. My shoes was untied. Like, whatever he needed, he gave them something to hang their hat on. And that's usually why people don't get convicted of killing Black folks. Every juror has one thing that they believe.
Let me ask you a question, Jerome, because one of the things that was a lot of people who were watching this trial, they were a little amazed and somewhat confused at the prosecution putting on a witness that said that she and the victim were drunk, they was getting high, they was doing all these things before this incident happened. And so, you know, I'm wondering, wait a minute, doesn't that put your victim in a bad light, that she was high, they were doing drugs, and she was drunk? Doesn't that help the defense? I don't understand why
yes,
the prosecution did this.
Yes, sir. And so it reminds me of the Trayvon Martin, where the prosecutor helped the defense case. Right? Some of those guys need to get disbarred and get out of there. And again, you want to know what supremacy is? That is systemic problems that we have as black people, that people are still not even giving us the best defense that they can. And they're not prosecuting the way they should be because they're not making the cases. And so, yes, it probably was malpractice, but I think in some cases the prosecutor probably thought, let me put them on before the defense brings them up so that I can try to do some damage control. So that strategy may just be bad, but yeah. They tried to take the fire from them, which might actually let him off the hook.
You know, you're right. You see, that's what I was going to say, Mr. Elliott. Some people are saying, wait a minute, the reason they did that because they want to just try this thing, full disclosure. You know, we don't want to get caught off guard because we know that the defense will put her on. Let's go ahead and get it out the way now. So then maybe if we do it earlier enough in the case that it would be an afterthought down the line. Your thoughts?
Yeah, maybe, but like I said, I don't trust prosecutors. Just after what happened to Trayvon Martin, I don't trust none of these people, man. Bottom line is, you know, she did what she did, and they were getting high, so what? And does that cause,
yeah,
okay, she was high, she was drinking, so what? Is that a cause for you to shoot her in the face and kill her? So what? That still stop the fact that you shot her in the face and killed her?
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Was walking up the court.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, and on that note, it is time for Chatterbox comments from our chat room and social media. Mr. Elias, man, who do you have, my brother?
I got Easy Rider when he said we were talking about the Pregnancy Act. He said these situations are done person-by-person basis. We all react to this differently. So the employer's got to be ready for anything. I also got when this person said women are no longer women, they're supposed to be equals.
Okay.
I got Covino, man. When Covino, right, man, says the police are sure killers of black men are males.
Okay. Now, you know what? I'm going to make going to go ahead and put this in law right now, that since we have the big three, regardless of who, what, how, and when, their comments get read. Something that they typed in the chat room gets read automatically. No questions asked. Can we all agree upon that?
I agree.
Sounds good to me. All right, folks, it is time for another edition of Have You Seen Me? And then on a need-to-know basis with Jerome Esprit. That's coming up next on Going Nowhere.
Sir, have you seen this girl?
Hello, friends. I'm Jay, the host of The Jay Rouse Show and the serious side of The Jay Rouse Show. And it's time for another edition of Have You Seen Me? Where we put the spotlight on missing children of color. Tonight, we will focus our attention on a couple of cold cases. First up, Miss Lynn Smith. She went missing on December 4th, 1985. Missing from Hot Springs, Arkansas. Date of birth is October 12th, 1969, which means she is 44 years old. She's a black female. Her hair is brown. Her eyes are brown. She's 5'3 and 110 pounds. Her ears are pierced. She has a mole on the right side of her chin. She was last seen wearing pink pants and a brown jacket and tan shoes. She also goes by the name of Jeffrey Lynn Smith. If you've seen this young lady, we ask that you please call the Hot Springs Police Department at 1-501-321-6789. Once again, that's 1-501-321-6789. Or you can call 911 or 1-800-843-5678. 1-800-843-5678. Next up, Clessandra Hall. She's been missing since May 9th, 1994. Missing from Pine Bluff, Arkansas. Date of birth, March 30th, 1976. She's 38 years old. She's a black female with black hair, brown eyes. She's 5'9", 120 pounds. She was last seen on May 9th, 1994. Once again, and she has a scar on the outside of her right knee. If anyone has any information about the location of this young lady, please call the Pine Bluff Police Department in Arkansas at 870-541-5300. 870-541-5300 or 1-800-843-5678. 1-800-843-5678. Or if all else fails, dial 911. We pray for the safe return of these young ladies, and we hope that their family never gives up and continue to try to find their loved ones. If you know someone who you'd like to see featured on Have You Seen Me, all you have to do is pick up the phone right now if you are listening to a live broadcast and dial 347-850-1272, 347-850-1272, and leave the information with the person who answers the phone. Or you can go to our Facebook page and post the information on the TGRS Radio Network Facebook page. Leave the information there, or you can contact me direct on Facebook at JAYRIL, or you can shoot us an email at thejryleshowatlive.com. That's thejryleshowatlive.com. We pray for all people missing regardless of color. And until next time, you've been listening to Have You Seen Me, where we focus our attention on missing people of color. Take care.
Somewhere in America, a mother is crying.
A family is torn.
A child is lost,
missing, or even abducted.
We need your help!
Contact your local police station
for a listing of missing children in your area or log on to www.missingkids.com to obtain further information regarding missing children in your local community.
There's the next face you see.
Maybe a child that will need your help.
Help support America's missing!
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
The White House petition website has been bombarded by a series of succession requests. The White House says there's a scandal involving former CIA Director David Gray and General John Allen was a client of the president.
All right, folks, it is time for On a Need-to-Know Basis with our main man, Jerome Esprit. Jerome, man, what do you have for us this week, my brother?
All right, well, this first news story, CJ, the number of Americans filing for new claims for unemployment benefits fell to its lowest level in 8.5 years, suggesting that we're on a recovery. We're going in the right direction. 8.5
okay.
years. I'm just saying. I just trying to help out.
I'm on your team.
Okay, cool. All right, so we're on a global, there was a global record set, a world record, and that means the Earth set a record for heat in June. It broke its own record in May. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration announced that last month's average global temperature was the highest recorded at 61.2 degrees. It's the higher than the 20th century average. So we're in a hot streak for the globe. That's a real world record.
Wow. All
right. Now, President Obama, in presidential news, said, okay, going back to our show last week, said this week, Joe Biden would make a superb president. Now, the president interviewed with the New Yorker. He said, Biden has seen the job up close. He knows the job, what it entails. He understands how to separate what's really important from what is less important. And I think he has great people skills. He enjoys politics. And he has an important relationship with the people on the Hill that will serve him well. Now, the article is in July 28th, the July 28th issue of The New Yorker. But I just wanted to say that because the president did say he was grateful for Biden's loyalty for the last 2 terms as president. And I just wanted to say, here we go. That's the first shot over the bow. If you think that wasn't true from what I said last week and last year. Anyway, just thought I'd share. Okay. Okay, no comment. All right, well, all right.
No, you're right. You're right.
I didn't see that before I said that last year. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
All right. So,
bye,
Jerome. U.S. health insurers will be sent about $330 million in rebates to employers and individuals this summer under the President Obama's health care law. Now, the law, which is often referred to as Obamacare, requires insurance companies to refund customers when they spend less than 80 to 85% of their health insurance premiums for medical care. So the rebate will go to 6.8 million people, a value of probably about $80 per family, but they'll be sent by August 1st, so they're in the mail. And you know, last year it was $550 million. Now, let you know that if affordable health care didn't pass, if insurance companies had mandated the same 2011 ratio of premiums, consumer spending would have gone up $3.8 billion in additional premiums this year.
See, numbers don't lie, and people don't realize this. And the White House need to do a better job of getting this message out there.
They don't. I'm telling you this on the media. That was an actual news story, and people promote what they want other people to believe. That is malpractice on our media industry for not telling you the truth. That is not the White House's job. They tell you when something goes bad. Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but that's right. You can't depend on people to put your message out. I mean, that's good stuff. I mean, people, the average American, If they heard this, anyway, I don't want to take any more of your time. Go ahead.
No. I'm just saying that's not the president's message. You got to be an egomaniac to go around talking about raising banners, talking about mission accomplished, but that's a whole other story. All right. Now, two federal appeal courts issued contradictory rulings on affordable health care, by the way. One ruling, the rulings don't necessarily mean that they're going to the Supreme Court. The first ruling from the three-judge panel said that the subsidies that help millions of low-caste, low- and middle-income people shouldn't be able to, they don't have to pay their premiums because of the wording in the Affordable Health Care Act. And then 100 miles away in Virginia, another court ruled unanimously the opposite. So they said the Internal Revenue has the ability to interpret Congress regulations and give credit to all consumers in all 50 states. So I just want to say this because this has been a news story. It's probably not going to go back to the Supreme Court because the ruling in D.C. has to go to the full panel, which is 11 people, right? There was four Republicans and seven Democrats. Four of the Democrats appointed by President Obama. So it will probably actually pass. All right, I'm getting feedback, so I kind of stuttered over that. Now, the 85 richest people in the world has as much wealth as the 3.5 billion of the poorest people in the world, according to the United Nations.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. That's a good, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to stop there, but the problem is with that, the issue of inequity applies even to countries with very high development indexes like the United States. So the U.S. falls from 5 to 28 on the list of inequities when it comes to income. 5 to 28.
That's good stuff.
Did you want to say something about that? Okay. All right.
No.
In a unanimous vote, the U.S. Sentencing Commission will let more than 46,000 federal inmates in prison for drug offenses apply to reduce their sentences retroactively. So they want to give judges and probation officers time to adapt the new protocols, and the inmates have to wait until November 1st, 2015 to file their petition, and the vote comes 2 months after the commission passed their so-called drug minus two, which is an amendment to the sentencing code that lowers federal guidelines for drug offenses two levels for defendants. So the average reduction will be about 25 months on average.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, in Washington, D.C., a man was officially cleared Monday of a murder he didn't commit. He was convicted in 82 based on faulty evidence by the FBI forensic investigation, and they're responsible for at least 5 wrongful convictions already. And his court-appointed attorney told him to take the plea deal because the evidence they had on him was too much, so he took the plea deal. He stayed in jail for 26 years and then was placed on parole in 2009, and he just got cleared on Monday.
Wow. Now, would he get any repercussions from that, Jerome?
You know, they're not saying, but he's going to have to sue. I mean, I have another story in here a little bit later where some inmates are people who were falsely convicted, I think 5 people received like $40 million. But, what do you do by having 26 years of your life taken away when they knew they falsely,
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you guys heard the story with the rogue gynecologist who had the secret cameras retaken. He taped hundreds of women and took photos of his patients. It led to a $190 million settlement for Johns Hopkins Health Systems in Baltimore. But a female coworker reported him because he used a pin-like camera around his neck while he was doing examinations on women. And, by the way, that guy committed suicide a while ago. But Johns Hopkins did settle for $190 million for 8,000 women and girls is what they released this week.
8,000 women and girls? Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And in a recent survey, just so you know, I just want to say this, that in a recent survey, it found that couples who go to bed nude are more happy than
more happily married than those who wear pajamas. That is all.
Well,
that
you
is
go.
Just my. I just wanted
well, did they actually spend money for that? I could tell them that. Hell, I mean, what, did we?
I don't know who's doing
really?
These surveys, but they need to call us. I think we can work this out.
now, okay. Oh my God.
Now in a news story. Now get this. The bar is called the Eager Beaver Bar in Appleton, Wisconsin. They were forced to cancel their lingerie night after a regular attempted to kidnap one of the bartenders on July 10th. Now, he faced more than 20 years in prison after being charged at attempted kidnapping in addition to soliciting prostitution in a separate case. Now, he ran up to a bartender as she was walking to her vehicle and tried to put a plastic bag over her head. And then neighbors approached and ran him away. But they had a Thursday night traditional lingerie where women wore their bra and underwear at the bartender. And the bar now said that they will cancel that night. I think that
see?
If everybody in the bar is not in their underwear, I don't think the bartender should be.
Well,
it was lingerie
ridiculous.
Night.
It just takes one person to mess it up for everybody. All right, Jerome, we have time for one more minute.
Okay. So... We talked a lot about people getting falsely arrested and arrested and stuff, but a man who was arrested asked the police officer to use his phone to make a phone call. The guy ordered 5 pizzas under the officer's name, so Domino's did not deliver pizzas to the jail. He now faces identity theft charges amongst his other charges for making a phone call.
Damn.
Oh, man, that is crazy,
so,
man.
Hey,
I appreciate
hey,
it, man.
Your
yeah.
sense of humor is just not appreciated in jail or out of jail, apparently.
Oh, man. All right, folks. It's time for our final break. It's time for some news, and we'll be back with our final thoughts as we wind down. You're listening to The Serious Side.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Fighting in eastern Ukraine is interfering with efforts to examine the Malaysia Airlines debris field. NPR's Corey Flintoff reports that international experts have given up on plans to visit the wreckage today.
The experts are trying to investigate the wreckage of the jet, which was shot down 10 days ago, killing all 298 people on board. They had planned to go out with a contingent of unarmed Dutch policemen. But a leader of the monitoring mission told reporters that the situation appears to be unsafe because of fighting in the area. Ukrainian government troops appear to be gaining ground against the pro-Russian paramilitaries who control the wreckage site. Government troops are reported to be advancing on a key town north of Donetsk, and there's continued fighting on the edge of Donetsk itself. Corey Flintoff, NPR News.
A new humanitarian truce in Gaza, but it's not clear if both sides will observe it. Hamas says it has agreed to a 24-hour ceasefire after rejecting an Israeli extension. The firing of more rockets prompted Israel to resume its military operation. An Israeli army spokesman quoted by the AP did not say if Israel will hold its fire, but did say troops will continue demolishing tunnels. The Egyptian ambassador to the U.S., Mohammed Tawfik, is among the diplomats who say they hope for a more sustainable truce in Gaza.
The first thing we do is stop the fighting, stop the killing. That's the first thing we do, and then everybody can come over to Cairo, and we'll try to see what we can do to put into place a lasting ceasefire.
The ambassador spoke during a forum at the crisis on the crisis at the Aspen Security Conference in Colorado. Secretary of State John Kerry has been leading diplomatic efforts to end the fighting, but there's been no public sign of progress. Authorities in Sierra Leone say the woman whose family took her from a hospital in Freetown after she tested positive for Ebola has died. A hospital official says the woman turned herself in after seeking treatment from a traditional healer. The deputy director of the National Security Agency has provided an update in the aftermath of the leaking of documents by former NSA contractor Edward Snowden. As NPR's Dina Temple-Raston reports, it's still unclear what Snowden took.
Richard Ledgett, the deputy director of the NSA, may be best known for suggesting late last year that there was room to discuss an amnesty deal with Snowden. Speaking to an audience at the Aspen Security Forum, Ledgett, who was put in charge of the Snowden task force, said as time goes on, the utility of making a legal deal with Snowden diminishes. He said it still isn't clear how many documents Snowden took and how many he passed to journalists. He also said the agency has put safeguards in place to prevent anyone from using a web crawler like the one Snowden used to take documents undetected. Dina Temple-Raston, NPR News, Aspen, Colorado.
And you're listening to NPR News.
Folks, once again, we appreciate you hanging out with us on a beautiful Sunday morning. Once again, I hope that the Sunday morning is beautiful in your neck of the woods, but it's time for our final thoughts. And Jerome Spree, you're up first. Final thoughts.
All right. I just want to say that great show. And just make sure that it is your responsibility to listen to the J. Rouse Show if you want some information that you're not getting on major media. It is not the president or the government's responsibility to tell you everything. Sometimes we just need to use common sense because, again, people are trying to program you to make you fearful all day. So be easy and have a nice week, everybody.
Appreciate you, sir. Thank you so much. Mr. L.E.S., final thoughts.
Man, look, we talked about a young man getting choked in New York. Look, folks, the police have a mandate against us as it stands. So, you know, no matter what we do, we need to be cognizant and conscious of what we're doing. The bottom line is, no matter what you do, watch your back. Watch what the police do to you, because you know something? There's a mandate on black men. So I employ all young men out there, don't give the police reasons to stop you. And if you do stop you, use your heads, fellas. Use your heads.
You know, every now and then, as a host of this show, you learn something. You know, I'm a fan of the serious side, just like most of you all. I come here every Sunday morning, and I come to learn. And I tell you, I learned something today. I learned that there's a difference between being in an abusive relationship and being in a situation where you have to protect yourself. You know, listen, we've always been taught that when men hit women, that's wrong. And you know what? And I agree with that. But the bottom line is, ladies, that if you're going to square up on a big guy and swing at this guy and knock out some teeth of this guy, don't get mad when you find yourself getting up off the floor when this guy punches your lights out. Like this girl told me, if you bad enough to stand up to a man, then you bad enough to take whatever the consequences are. And let me say this, by no stretch of the imagination am I saying that a man should beat a woman or hit a woman. That, to me, is out of bounds, Lakers ball, and you should never, ever, ever do that. And I won't. But if a guy gets punched by a female, unprovoked and no reason at all, I don't know if I would have a problem with that guy hitting her back. And before we go, I want to say hello to some new members of the TGRS Radio Network family. Taja Amin Ree, hello, welcome in. Jones, Phyllis K. Ellison, thank you. And Larry Love Quest Teal, thank you for joining the TGRS Radio Network show page. You can do it as well. Go to Facebook and become a member of the page. And, of course, that will put you in tune. You will find out first before everyone else what the topics of the shows are. You'll be notified, and I tell you what, it's a great page to be a part of. And on that note, Mr. L to the E to the S, if it's Sunday morning and we're talking serious stuff, what time is it, my friend?
It's time for the serious side of the J. Rouse Show.
So for the big three, Jerome Spree and my man Mr. L.E.S., I'm J. Rouse telling you to have a great Sunday. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. And if it is Sunday and we're talking serious stuff, it is the serious side. Enjoy your work week, everybody. Take care.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.